Your congregation, I invite you to turn in God's holy word to Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Beloved, you are fair, my love. Beloved, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep, which have come up for the wash from the washing, every one of them which bears twins, and none is barren among them. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory, on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Your breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. Amen. May God bless the reading of his precious and infallible word. Dear congregation, this morning we were privileged to see the bride of Christ coming up out of the wilderness in verse 6 of chapter 3, like pillars of smoke perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all merchants' fragrant powders. And she wants to turn the attention away from herself and to place it on her bridegroom and to say, behold, Solomon's couch and his chariot and his person and his work. And she extols him for who he is. But now when we turn to chapter 4, the bridegroom breaks forth in a poem of song about his bride. It's filled with love for his cherished bride. He doesn't highlight any of her blemishes, her darkness. But no, he sees his own workmanship in her. He sees her as united to him, being conformed to his image through his Holy Spirit as the graces are worked out in her life. It's very fitting for our occasion for today. As we come to the conclusion of the Lord's Supper and reflect upon it, in the Lord's Supper, our attention has been on Christ and his person and his work through that broken bread, signifying his broken body, and the poured out wine, signifying his shed blood. And as we commune with him at his table and we have a high view of him and we extol him, then in a certain sense, after communion, he breaks out in song, in a love poem for his bride. And he shows us that beauty is indeed in the eye of the beholder. As he says, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. And she had commended him, and now he commends her and honors her for who she is in him. And it's also a message for office bearers and the installation of office. Today we recognize that also, as we hope to have at the end of our service. It instructs us as to how to view the bride and how to nurture the Spirit work graces within her as we serve as office bearers of the office bearer, the bridegroom. Isn't that really what Ephesians 5 is all about? As there Paul is showing us that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her through the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's the goal of marriage, but that's also the goal of Christ using his office bearers and parents and all those who nurture the bride of Christ to be with without blemish, to be holy in him. Isn't that what Paul's heart and desire was in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2? For I am jealous, he says, for you, with a godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You see, then we need to understand the view that Christ has of his bride in order to do so. And so I'd like to look at this passage with the theme, Christ's view of his bride, and we're going to see his description of his bride, and then briefly at the end of the sermon, his satisfaction with his bride. Christ's description of his bride. It could be summarized in one word. Beauty. Beauty. That's really the bookends of his description. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You are all fair, my love. These aren't just words of puppy love. These aren't just words of a husband knowing what to say at the right time to keep his wife happy. No, this is not flattery to boast, build herself up and to give her pride, but it's to encourage her and to show her the very value that Christ has for her. And to show others the value that he has for his bride. After all, it's Christ who makes her beautiful. And he knows her value because he's paid the dowry price for his bride. He's given his own life. He shed his own blood. He's given a perfect life that he might make her holy and righteous. And as he gazes on her face, he doesn't just describe some kind of outward beauty. But no, he sees and is expressing an inward beauty in his bride. A beauty of holiness. A beauty of the new creation within her. One that's incorruptible. It's interesting to note here, he gives 7 identifying features of his bride. And really showing those 7 identifying graces of his spirit in her. Matthew Henry even notes that this is really the number of perfection. For the church, he says, is enriched by the manifold graces by the 7 spirits who are before his throne. And there Christ extols his bride in those 7-fold works of his spirit in her. And the first feature he draws our attention to is her eyes. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. You know, when you look into someone's eyes, if you love them and cherish them as a husband or a wife, you look into their eyes and they're beautiful, they're loving, they're tender, they're like dove's eyes, they're harmless and they're not offensive. You know when a woman's getting ready for the marriage, that she makes sure her eyes look well and that your eyes are attracted to her eyes, that she would look beautiful. There's beauty in them, but there's also this gaze. You can just tell when a couple getting married are standing before you and they're doing their vows and they look up into each other's eyes and there's something pure and undefiled, inoffensive. We've all heard about wondering eyes. When a man or a woman would have wondering eyes, looking away from the one that they love, and it's very quick, they quickly catch on to that. It's just like when Jesus looks into his bride's eyes, they're eyes that are devoted to him. They aren't eyes that want to look at idols and to be wondering to the lusts of the world, but our eyes are focused on Christ. They're focused toward the Lord. That's what he sees in her eyes, is a waiting bridegroom. Maybe not seeing fully as we saw in 1 John 3. Maybe seeing only dimly through a glass at this time. But But one day, face to face, and we'll see him in all of his glory and all of his beauty, and we will be like him. But now, already, these truths are in his bride. Her eyes are like dove's eyes. And her hair, secondly, he says, your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. And there you could also see that white hair of these goats that were on the top of the mountains. You could see them from a long ways away. They had fine hair. It was beautiful. It was pure. There's a purity to it as well as what the eyes would be. But there's something else going on here, is the very value that these goats and this hair would be to their owner. It expressed the riches of his flock. And so the Lord Jesus Christ looks at his bride and he sees her value. And she's so valuable that Jesus even reminds his disciples and those who he's ministering to that the very hairs of your head are numbered. Even in times of difficulty, even in times of trial, we can know that God so cares for us that he numbers our very hairs. And that our Father so cares for us that he numbers our hairs. And not one of them falls to the ground without our Father knowing about it. So carefully, he cares for us. He treasures us. He values us. He knows the value of his bride. And we can know that too when we see the bride with their hair all done up for the wedding. And there's much value placed upon that. They spend hundreds of dollars maybe to get your hair done and your bridesmaid's hair done for that day. There's real value in that beauty and that appearance. And there's a value to that. So there are. The people of God, the bride of Christ, his hair is like a flock of goats, very valuable, going down from Mount Gilead. The third thing he points out in his description are her teeth. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep, which has come up from the washing. Every one of them bears twins, and none of is barren among them. The bride does have teeth, and we can think of it as beauty and as purity there as well. There certainly is that aspect. They've just come up. It's like a flock of sheep that just come up from the washing. There's some purity. There's value to this. Isn't that also what a bride would do on her wedding day, is to make sure her teeth are whitened and straightened and to be, to look and to appear as beautiful as possible. Certainly there's some aesthetic value to this. But good teeth and white teeth, and they also show a very health and a confidence. There's nourishment that happens through the teeth. And the teeth are important in the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ does have teeth. The bride of Christ needs to chew up the meat of the Word of God and even to share it at times with the babes in grace and to cause them to flourish. There needs to be teeth in order to be healthy and to be fruitful. And you see that especially as you go on in this verse. Every one of these sheep, it bears twins, and none of them is barren. Not one of them. They are fruitful. They are fruitful. And this is all not because of something in her, but it's all because of the grace of the Holy Spirit in their life. Her lips, we see fourthly, are healthy. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet. Your mouth is lovely. You can almost see that bride putting on the lipstick before the wedding to make sure her lips look like scarlet, like
healthy.
Pale lips are a sign of faintness and weakness. But those that are full and scarlet are healthy. But he goes on to say that it's not just her lips, but her whole mouth is lovely, and the mouth is what communicates, and the mouth is what is speaking. The speech is lovely. It's graced with love and truth. That's what is edifying for the body. It's the beauty of the Christian to be able to speak grace and truth in a loving way. See, all of our good works and our good words, they really need to be healthy words. Words that are, and works that are really washed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Words that are acceptable to God. Words that are true and honest and have good intentions. That's a healthy bride. And notice, you go on to fifthly see her temples or her cheeks up in this area where you would blush. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. And a piece of pomegranate was a piece of fruit where you open it up and you would see red lines through it and specks. It would show like a blushing face. And as the bride is honored and praise for who she is, she might begin to blush in the face and recognize that these graces aren't in her by nature, and there would be humility and modesty in it. Even a bride getting herself ready for the wedding, they might put a little splash of red here on her cheeks to give life to it and to show that expression. This bride is humble and modest, and she blushes at the very praise of her bridegroom. Sixthly, we see her neck. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory, on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. You see, when the bride is getting ready, she wants her neck to be straight. She wants to hold her head high, and there's strength and confidence in her neck. It's like a tower that's straight and strong, going forth with confidence and courage. That's the bride of Christ. That's how Jesus sees his bride, is one who can hold their head up. And to go through this world with confidence in the bridegroom and how he values her and how he esteems her. A Christian does not walk around in this world with its head hung down in shame. No, Jesus says, lift up your heads. Your neck is strong. Your neck is filled with confidence, not because of yourself, but because of how I see you and what I'm doing in you. They're strong in the Word. They're strong in the promises of the Word. That's the shield of faith. It's built like an armory. There's strength. Sixthly, seventhly, he looks a little further down. Her eyes to her face, to her hair, to her neck, to her breasts. And he says, your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of the gazelle, which feed among the lilies. These breasts are for nurturing and for caring. Even as the bride of Christ is nurtured and cared for by her bridegroom, as he gives us his word, the milk of his word, he gives us the meat of his word, he gives us the sacraments whereby we might be fed and nourished in our faith. And those things are all to build up the bride and the whole body of Christ. And he sees his bride and he sees her with breasts for nurturing all within her, instructing the children and blessing one another with our nurturing graces. We could go on in each one of these, but this is the very principles of how Christ is viewing his church. He sees her purity, her health, her value, her strength, her humility, her nurturing character. And he praises her, for he loves her, and he finds beauty in her by his grace. And finally, we see Christ is satisfied with his bride. He looks on her and he says, "You are altogether fair. You are lovely." And the bridegroom's resolution because of this is to go up, to go to the mountains of myrrh in verse 6. "Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense." This is really signifying that he's going up to Mount Moriah, that he's going up to Jerusalem. He's going up to where the temple was and is. And that's where he will rest, where that myrrh and that frankincense, that incense is that sweet-smelling aroma before him, arising out of the temple. He's going to go up to this mount of myrrh and frankincense. And he's going to go there, and he's going to dwell there, because he has beauty. He sees the beauty of his temple. He sees the beauty of his bride, and he's going to dwell with her. And she's going to be like that sweet-smelling aroma everywhere she goes. And he's going to see her beauty and delight in her beauty. The Song of Songs goes on here in chapter 4. And to understand the aroma of his garden, that garden of his bride. And we'll see that at the next time we have the Lord's Supper, Lord willing. But here, he's so satisfied with his bride, he wants to dwell in her and with her. And he even says to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages." And though he's not physically with us, he is with us, even at the right hand of God, where he takes our prayers and intercedes with his Father and prays for us and with us. And his prayers go up before his Father as a sweet aroma. He's satisfied with his bride. He says, "Until the day breaks, until the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh. I will be with my people. I will be with my bride." And he's coming again. He's coming again that we might be with him in his eternal temple forever and ever, to be cherished as his bride, to be praised as his bride. You know, there's so much in the scripture that praises Christ, and there's so much in our hearts that want to praise him for what he's done for us and what he's doing in us. And certainly we ought to give all honor and all praise and all glory to him. Let us never forget our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, praises and loves and is satisfied with his bride. There is never a time when our bridegroom looks at his bride and says, "Oh, what did I get myself into?" He sees you in him, in what he's done. And if that's how he sees you, ought you not to want to live that way? Ought you not to delight in his graces and in his love? Ought you not to nurture those graces by his Holy Spirit? Ought we not to be nurturing them in one another to his glory, to be a faithful representation of his bride? You are all fair, my love. All fair. And I will, until the morning breaks, till the day comes, I will be with you through the nights, through the darkness, through the challenges, because I love you and I gave myself for you, and you are my most valuable possession. As we think about this in way of installation for office bearers, as office bearers of the Lord Jesus Christ, what a huge responsibility. If Christ so speaks of his bride, would we dare to speak ill of her? Would we dare treat her with contempt? Would we dare not provide her with all good things? Because he has esteemed her as more value than anything in this world. He gave his life for her. His most prized possession is whom we are stewards of. And in his estimation, the bride of Christ is fair, lovely, and pure. Let us treat her with dignity, respect, love, honor. For he is worthy. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what a faithful bridegroom. What a glorious bridegroom. And yet, O Lord, you even show us today the very view and the love and the care you have for your bride. May we have that same estimation for your bride as you do. That same value. We, O Lord, would know that you are satisfied with us. Not because of who we are, but because of your work in us. And so, Lord, we come before you asking that you would truly transform us and conform us to his image, that we might be a faithful bride, one that is fruitful and abounding in good works. We pray, Lord, that our eyes would truly focus on you. That they would not be wondering. That our hair would be pure and white and filled with value. That our teeth would be sharp and healthy. Lord, we pray that our lips and the very words of our mouth would show that healthy spiritual work of grace in our hearts, that our words would be holy and pure and lovely, that we would blush because of your value for us with humility, that we would be strong in the Lord and the power of your might, and that we would be nurturing by your word, through your sacraments, in the worship and instructing our children in the home. And even as you are satisfied with us, we pray that we would be satisfied with you for Jesus' sake. Amen.